If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open to John chapter 1. I'm only going to speak from one verse in John chapter 1, and then I'm going to go to a couple other places in the Bible as well. Before I begin in the message, though, I do want to make a couple of birthday comments. Eden, is it your birthday today? Eden, is it your birthday today? Happy birthday to you. And then we also have Marlene, who's a couple of years older than Eden, and it is her birthday as well. So happy birthday to both of you today, and hope you have a great birthday. And then Eldred is going to turn 80 on Tuesday. So you're much older than Eden as well. 1 year. And a couple more as well. We have some cupcakes that have been provided by their family too in honor of Eldred, and then maybe Marlene and Eden can act like they're their cupcakes as well. And so anyway, that'll be in our fellowship time following the service. So happy birthday. Birthdays are good, aren't they? Who doesn't like birthdays? Okay. Well, it's coming in whether you want it or not. If not, well, then there's other things happening there. The title of the message today is The Glorious Jesus. Really, Jesus and His glory. And before I begin preaching, I mentioned this last week. I feel inadequate sharing about God's glory. Maybe you would feel a little better coming up here and saying, I've got God's glory figured out. Not because I haven't studied this, not because I haven't pondered this. I just think God's glory is so extreme that we can only probably have a taste of it. And even that taste that we get of God's glory is so bountiful and so marvelous that we still don't see all of God's glory. And so beginning the message, I just want you to open your mind. We've sung about it already. You've seen this word on the screen, glory. I just ask that you would just think about God's glory in maybe a new way today, maybe in a way that you've never thought of before. And I guess I just want to pray right now. I know Brett's already praying, that God would just envelop this place, that you would just know His glory and you would have a taste of that today. So let me pray for you. God, thank you for your glory. It's something that's hard to understand a little bit, and yet we see it every day. I pray that as your presence is here today, that we would just know of your glory and that you would shine on us. And may we have a taste of how glorious you are. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the midst of a series entitled Bringing Christ into Christmas. The messages have been this: John chapter 1, 14, the guy, Jesus, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What it meant that Jesus came as an only Son in the flesh. He was truly here. Last week we talked about the glowing Jesus, that Jesus was the light of the world, and He continues to be the light of the world. I don't know if you were here last week, if you put your candle somewhere to remind yourself that Jesus was the light of the world, and now you are the light of the world because Jesus shines through you. Today, the glorious Jesus. We have seen His glory. Next week on December 22 in our regular scheduled services, the graceful Jesus. Jesus is identified as being full of grace. I wonder who you think of when you think of somebody who's very gracious. There are some people who are very mean and and hateful and not full of mercy. And then there's some other people who are just gracious. You just look at them and they're just full of grace. That's who Jesus was, graceful. And then our Christmas Eve services at 4 and 6 on Christmas Eve, the giving Jesus. Who is the giving Jesus? What is the concept, though, of today? The glory of Jesus. Here's the verse, John chapter 1, verse 14. It's going to be on the screen behind me. You can flip to it on page 886 in the Bible in the chair rack in front of you. Here's what it says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The glory of God. It's a jaw-dropping concept. We often talk about God's grace and mercy and love and compassion and patience and forgiveness and providence. But I believe if we can understand and see God's glory, then we can understand and it will change our lives. The first thing I want you to see is this. God's glory was revealed. It was revealed in the Old Testament. It was revered. Not only was it revealed, but it was revealed. It was holy. It was awesome. If you go to Exodus chapter 24, verse 17, here's what it says. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. It says this in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. One of the things we want is for you to be able to sense God's presence when you come here. And just like the fog that some of you experienced when you got here, that's what I desire, is that you just, when you come to God's holy tabernacle, you just sense the glory of the Lord here. They understood this. God's presence was so powerful that no one wanted to even get close to the mountain. They're like, oh. I don't know if you've ever been by somebody who in your estimation is so holy that when you're in their presence, you're like, I can't even talk to them because they're so holy. I don't know if you've ever been with somebody like that. May you be that person. God's presence was so powerful that they didn't want to get close to the mountain. I contend a couple of things. One, we truly miss God's glory. We miss it. Number two, we can have access, though, to his glory. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 11. This is what it says about God's presence. So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, because the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. In the Old Testament times, they knew. They knew what it was. When they showed up, it's like, here is the presence and the glory of the Lord. They had an awe-inspiring encounter. I wonder if we can get to that place. Wouldn't there be something if you would tell somebody in 2020, you've got to come to church? Why? Because God's presence is there. What does that mean? Come. You'll just know. There's something about God's glory when he's there and when it's more than just superficial, when it's more than, hi, how are you? I'm glad you're at church today. But when you know God's glory deep down, and let me say this, I think we've become so casual with God's glory. Oh yeah, God's glorious. He's glorious, yeah, that's wonderful. Or we don't even think of his glory as being awesome. God's glory is holy. He is a holy God, and we should fall down when we think of his glory and how awesome it is. Barnes describes glory as majesty, dignity, splendor. Another has said glory is stated in this way, self-existent one who has revealed himself. That's who God is. He's the self-existent one who has revealed himself. We come into God's house casually. We use God's name casually. We don't think about how God is so glorious and how magnificent he is. I challenge each of us to think about the glorious of God. God is more glorious than you can think or you can imagine. I tried to think, what is glorious in our life that we can kind of grab a hold of? What does it mean of being glorious? And so I thought of a couple things. These will fall short, of course. But I thought of a couple of things. The bride on her wedding day, as she comes down the aisle, the bride is glorious. There's like, oh, something going on there, something, you know, for a lot of brides. And maybe you remember that day. Maybe you were that man, and you're like, I'm going to faint. Maybe you haven't had that opportunity yet. But there's something about it. And the bride looked so beautiful that day. The glory of a bride. A dad holding a child for the very first time. There's something that's glorious about that moment. And when that dad is, the big burly dad, is holding this little tiny little 6-pound squirt, there's something glorious about that moment. Some of you participated in winning a sports championship. And when you finally win, after all of the time of sweat and tears and many years of practice, and then you hold up the trophy, there's something glorious about that moment. When somebody who has been with some illness of some kind for a long, long, long time, and then God heals them in that moment, there's something that's glorious, and everybody is like, what happened? God healed that person. Maybe for you, you've stood on a stage like this and people have honored you for something, some award and some recognition. There's glory in that. Or I listened and I heard on the radio this last week, the Hallelujah Chorus. I wonder what was received when that was sung for one of the very first times and the king stood because hallelujah. And then they just keep on going, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the glorious moments. Maybe there's another moment you've thought of that is just so glorious. But these are earthly, and they fall ever so short. Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I guess what I desire out of you this week is just to sit back and see God's glory all this week. Can you see it? He sent His glory to us through His Son. And in this season, look for God's glory. Please don't think that you just have to come to church to see God's glory. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. And the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Look out your window each morning and see the glory of God. Have you spent time in God's Word seeing His glory? I don't know what you do with Bible reading each year, but I try to read through the Bible every year. Right now I'm in the Minor Prophets, and let me just tell you that sometimes the Minor Prophets, it's a little tough to get through. But one of the major prophets is Ezekiel. And here I have been reading through the book of Ezekiel. I don't know if you've read through Ezekiel. And by the way, I just challenge each of you here to read through God's Word in 2020. Each of you can do that? You can. If you don't want to tackle that project, then read the New Testament. Read one chapter a day out of the New Testament, and you'll get through the New Testament in 2020. As I was reading through Ezekiel this time, and I didn't pick it up until about halfway through. But how many times he mentions Son of Man in Ezekiel? But also how many times he mentions Sovereign Lord? And so I just started underlining Son of Man and Sovereign Lord. Oh, Sovereign Lord. Oh, Sovereign Lord. Oh, Sovereign Lord. I mean, here tucked in this major prophet that is hard to understand at times. Sovereign Lord. The sovereignty of God. Are you seeing God's glory in His Word? Spend time in His Word. Ask for God to show you His glory. I have a quote from Charles Spurgeon. You might know Charles Spurgeon, that I'd want you to see. It's on the screen. Here's what it says. Saints of 60 years experience who have walked with Him, that being Jesus, every day, think they know Him, but they are only beginners yet. Just think about that for just a moment. You don't necessarily have to look around the room, but just think about it around the room, or if you want to look, that's fine too, of who you think is the most saintliest in the room. Whoever you think is the most saintliest are only beginners yet. The perfect spirits before the throne, who have been for 5,000 years perpetually adoring him, perhaps they think they know him, but they do not know him to the full. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. He is so glorious that only the infinite God has full knowledge of him. In Exodus chapter 23, I'm going to spend a couple of moments here, so if you want to go there, you can. You don't have to. But there is an interchange between God and Moses. Here's what God and Moses are talking about. Now therefore, if I found favor in your sight, this is Moses talking, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And God says, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Let me pause for just a moment, because maybe somebody just needs to hear that right now. God's presence will go with you and will give you rest. It's a busy time of the season. God will go with you and will give you rest. Trust in that rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, and I your people from every other people on the face of the earth? And then here's what it says. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing you have spoken I will do for you, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said this, please show me your glory. Have you asked of that in recent days? Have you said, God, I want to see your glory? I contend that we don't try to seek God's glory enough. I contend that we aim too low. Our prayers are too shallow. Our thoughts are too man-centered. We are too concerned for the food on our table and our favorite sports team than focusing on the glory of God. We are concerned for that Christmas present that we're going to get or that we got to buy. We miss out on the glory of God. And Moses says, now show me your glory. Can you imagine if you said that each morning? God, would you show me your glory today? What might happen in your life? Could you handle it, in all honesty? Could I handle it? Verse 19 of chapter 33. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim you before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you stand, shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Again, a quote from Spurgeon. Now, what attribute is God about to show Moses? His petition is, show me thy glory. Will God show him his justice, his holiness, his wrath, his power? No, hear the still small voice. I will make all my goodness pass before you. Here's what Spurgeon says. Ah, the goodness of God is God's glory. God's greatest glory is that he is good. I will make all my goodness pass before you. There's a panorama such as time would not be long enough for you to see. Are you willing to receive God's glory? Are you ready for it? And hear me again. Here's what some of you might be thinking. Well, that's good for you, Pastor Steve. You see God's glory. I'm not good enough for that. You are. You are, because he shows it every day. Well, I'm under 18, and you can only see God's glory when you're 18 or older. No. It's available for anyone. Because it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. It doesn't say the priests have seen his glory. It doesn't say only people who are going to turn 80 have seen his glory. Only people who have birthdays on this certain day. It says, we have seen his glory. And then here comes Jesus, point number two, the glory of the Son. The glory of the Son. It was revealed in the New Testament through seeing Jesus. Hebrews 1 verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. God chose to reveal the Lord's glory through his Son. When Jesus came, he brought the glory of the Lord with him. Extreme humility. It doesn't say this. Please hear. This is not what the word says. The word does not say, and the word became flesh and dwell among us, and we have seen his miracles. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, and we have seen his healings. It doesn't say, we have seen his peace. We have seen his righteousness. No, he chooses the word, we have seen his glory. That encompasses all of that. Can God's glory be a feeling? It sure can, but it's also a fact. We can see God's glory. Stephen, before he was martyred, in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, it says this, but he, means Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And hear me in this, I get to reflect God's glory. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Wouldn't that be something if somebody said of you this week, of me this week, I see the glory of the Lord reflected in you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Not because of what you've done. You're just like the moon. I mean, you're just there. I'll be the moon. You shine off me. You reflect off me. And I get to shine in the moon sky because of the sun. You have that awesome, awesome responsibility and possibility. And let me say this. It's serious business that we get to reflect God's glory. John chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus replied, Philip, I have been with you all this time, and still you do not know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? But we have a problem, and you've had a problem yet this morning. Here's the problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the glory, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. At times we do not believe, and so our minds are clouded. If you're an unbeliever, you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what's happened. The gods of this age has blinded your mind. So you cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. I've talked about this in recent days, and maybe there's somebody around you who doesn't know Christ, and you get frustrated with them. Do you know why? It tells you in 2 Corinthians verse 4, the God of this age has blinded their eyes. And that's why you get to reflect God's glory, because then they get to see that. That's why I get as well. Many are trapped. Maybe you are. I think all of us can succumb to this if we're not careful. We don't see the glory of God. The enemy traps us in our minds into futile and worthless thinking because we don't see the glory of God. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are unable to see God's glory. The heavens declare the glory of God, and you miss it because the gods of the age have blinded you. If you are a believer, we lower ourselves and we get very frustrated about the sun because it gives us sunburns, when actually we just say, thank you, Lord, for the sun, because this is the glory of God. We ask for it, of course. You asked for it last week if you were here. Did you know you asked for God's glory? You did. If you prayed the Lord's Prayer with me, you said this, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We say it. Sometimes we focus more on his kingdom and his power, but he says glory. What does it look like for God's glory to be in our lives? Some might say that God's glory is his character. But can God's glory go with us when we leave from this place? You bet. That's why Jesus came. Do you carry around God's glory? As a reminder, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Thus, all I am doing needs to be surrendered to him. John 2, verse 11. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. Johann Sebastian Bach said this. I think there's a quote. Put this quote up on their screen if you would, Ethan. All music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub. Yesterday I was at a game, and there was some popular music from my day and age that was actually playing over the sound system during timeouts or in between games or whatever. And I don't think that music I don't think it had an aim to bring God glory. I just don't think it did. Just kind of fun music, but it didn't bring glory to God. Kind of interesting. Some of you like music and you like the beat of some things, and you have no clue what the lyrics say, but it's just got a good beat. And so, does it bring glory to God? Bach also headed his compositions J.J., which stands for Jesus Juva, which means Jesus help me, and he ended them with S.D.G., which means soli Dei gratia, which means to God alone the praise. So how does one know how do we know for achieving and seeing God's glory? How do you achieve it? Here's some thoughts. Look for it, ask for it, contemplate on it. As you go about your life this week, contemplate God's glory in everything. I begin to think this. Can God's glory be revealed through a puking child? Many of you are away from that, and you're very thankful, aren't you? Some of you are not. But I believe God's glory can be revealed through a puking child. Can God's glory be revealed through that annoying sales clerk that you have to deal with this Christmas season? You better believe it. Can God's glory be revealed in snow, and as you're driving, you can't see the road? You better believe it. Can God's glory be revealed as that deer slams into the side of your vehicle, and you're like, ah? You better believe it. Can God's glory be revealed in the mundane of your life? And trust me, many of you have mundane moments. And can God's glory be revealed in that? You better believe it. Can God's glory be revealed through your husband's eyes, through your wife's comments, in your children's successes and failures? Can God's glory be realized in your work? Lord, look to Jesus to show you his glory. Or maybe flip it around. Or maybe look at it in a different way. Does this not bring glory to God? And if it doesn't bring glory to God, then don't do it. The items that I ingest, the thing that I put in front of my eyes, what I am thinking about, does that give glory to God? The books I read, there's a number of books, and some of them are just trash. Don't read them. They don't bring glory to God. How's that bringing glory to God? The places I go. The words that I say bring glory to God. That doesn't mean that you have to go around your whole week saying, bless you, all glory to God. Glory to God to you, glory, glory. You don't have to say that the whole time. But the words that you say, do they bring glory to God? When that curse word slips or it becomes a habit, that doesn't bring glory to God. if the things that you are doing in your life don't bring glory to God, then I'm not adequately reflecting his glory. Miss Patton, Manel, and Joni Nelson and I get to work with Cubbies on Wednesday nights in Awana. And we just sang this song, and I think it is appropriate, maybe for the glory of God. We sang the old Sunday school song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And oh, be careful, little mind." I'm not going to sing all of it. "Oh, be careful, hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go." Is that reflecting God's glory? It may happen in a moment, and it may take some time to get quiet on a day to see God's glory. It may go rushing by, and I pray that we're never in a place that we'd say, "Surely the presence of the Lord is here, and I missed it." The glory of God. What is God's glory? His perfect nature, all the aspects of him, his holiness, his righteousness, his perfectness. How do we see it? By being with him, by living with him. Are you with him? God's glory is not just for today. I'm going to pray in just a couple of moments. And I'm going to pray that God's glory just infuses you so much that you who with unveiled faces would reflect the glory of God all this week. May you sense and understand God's glory in those mundane and frustrating things. May you ask for it, because here's what the Word of God says: "And we have seen his glory." Have you seen it? It can happen. Stand with me, please. God, I thank you for your presence that's very present here today. I thank you for your magnificent glory. You are a glorious God who continues to make the heavens declare your glory. Some of us in this room have missed it. Even today, we've been frustrated with the snow, and we've missed the glory of the snow. God, I pray that you would forgive each and every one of us as we've missed out on the glory of God. I think of a couple of ladies who are in this room right now who are going to display the glory of God through childbirth very soon. What a wonderful, glorious thing. God, would you do a mighty work in our lives this week that we would display your glory? I do pray for somebody here today who's not walking with you, who was unable to understand or display your glory because they are not falling at your feet and worshiping you. I pray for that individual today that they would see your glory and they would say yes to you and say, "I want that glory. My life is just muddled around." Oh God, may your glory shine to that person today, and may they accept just a taste of your glory. And God, I pray for each person that's here today. May we not miss your glory in the sunrise, in the sunset, reading in your word, those quiet moments around the Christmas tree, those loud moments around the Christmas tree. May we see your fabulous, unending glory. God, If you truly unleashed all of your glory to us, we could not stand before you. But we ask for your glory, and may it be revealed, and may your glory be revealed in and through us. Thank you, God, for your glory. May we ponder and think on your glory all this week, each one of us. And I pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.